Let's begin at verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but the sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and I said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gate thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and wilt thou return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let the letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Praise God. Amen, amen. And so we're going to talk about week number 2 here. And last week we talked about the visible burden. And sometimes I can't find a title. Sometimes I'm torn between 2 or 3 titles, and this is one of those nights. And so here we are. And so last week we talked about the visible burden. And so this week we're going to talk about acting on a burden, or we're going to call it resting grace. Amen. Resting grace. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to be with us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you and we need you today. God of heaven, we need you tonight. We need you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We need you tonight. We need your spirit. We need your help tonight. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come upon us and to be about us. We need the touch of grace to be with us today. We need the spirit of faith to be amongst us tonight. God, we're asking all of these things in your name, God, because you're the only one that can really help us. And I pray, God, that your perfect and divine will would be accomplished in this place today, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Last week we got into this book of Nehemiah. Been teaching on structure and spirit. Just feeling like I needed to go in this direction. And so last week we got off into this on the visible burden. And we know that in the first chapter of Nehemiah that there were those that came to him, and when they were asked concerning the condition of Jerusalem, and when they spoke that, there was something that happened to Nehemiah. There was a burden that settled upon him. And then here in the book of Nehemiah chapter number 2, when he approached and came before the king with his wine, seeing that he was a cupbearer, the king asked him, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? It was a visible burden. And so we talked about that last week, and we know that the book of Nehemiah is not just about building the walls of Jerusalem, but it is about building a city that could be the home for God's people, and that it would be a witness for God's name to every other city. And not only that, as I was looking into that and pondering that here tonight, I just thought that it's not just about the now, but it is also about the future. And because with a little historical detail in this, We see that the news that so devastated Nehemiah was news that was 140 years old. And so I do not believe that Nehemiah received new information, but with the information that he got, he became impassioned with a burden. Here was his hometown. I can't even really call it his hometown, seeing that it was burnt some 140 years prior to that. We know that Nehemiah is not 140 years old. He probably may have very well never spent a night in Jerusalem, and that it was only a story that was handed down to him. But there was something about the love of God that was within him, the love for the house of God, the people of God, the land of God that was there, that this time it struck a burden. Whether it was that nobody had yet done anything or that it was just simply time and God laid the burden upon Nehemiah. Sometimes I wonder if God had been laying the burden upon somebody and they had not been receptive of it. But what we do know is that Nehemiah at this point in time is receptive of the burden that is here. And so he becomes concerned with the house of God rather than the house of the king. He becomes concerned with the land of God rather than the land of the king. He becomes concerned with the things of God rather than the things of the king. He becomes concerned about just the business of God rather than the business that he was taking care of, understanding that the decision that he was getting ready to make very well could cost him dearly for his future. But he was not thinking about his future. He was thinking about the future of the land of God, the future of the people of God, the future of the house of God. Amen. Not just the here and the now of what he was experiencing, but the later, the time, the future of what everybody else would be experiencing. Would there be a city that would be encompassed about walls for children in the future? Would there be a place of worship in the future for all of those that desired to worship? Would there be a sacred place, amen, somewhere, sometime in the future? And so we ended last week by stating what a burden, what that burden had the ability to do, just kind of giving insight to a little bit into this week, but not even the fullness and the completion of this week, but just what the burden has the power and the capacity to do. And that it was with a burden that Nehemiah possessed that within 52 days, 42 different working parties restored a 50-foot high wall with a circumference of 4 miles at a rate of 504 feet per day, all the while for fighting against severe opposition. And the question may be asked and how that they were able to do what no one else had done in 140 years. Did they pray? Yes, they prayed. Amen. But they also got a fresh burden and they acted upon it. And so that's what I want to really bounce off of tonight, to major upon tonight. And that it does not do much good whatsoever at all to have a burden for the work of God. But somewhere or another, we've got to put the burden into action. I do not know how many people that I have met in this world. I do not know if I have ever even met a single individual that would openly confess unto me and say, I do not want revival. I do not want any of my lost loved ones saved. I do not want any of my friends saved. I could care less if anybody ever got the Holy Ghost beyond this day. I don't know that I've met one. And so with that said, I would venture to say that somewhere in the proximity of 100% of us in this building here tonight would stand with clarification and say, there are yet people that I want to see saved. There is yet revival that I desire to have in this church. I do not know that there would be any of us that would venture out or step out and say, you know, Pastor, when this building is about 70% filled, I feel like that would probably be good enough and that we wouldn't have to do anything else and God would be satisfied with that. I just don't see, feel that whatsoever at all. But I feel that being ambassadors for Christ, and I feel that in the experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that there's somewhere tucked down and buried and maybe deep down in the heart is yet the desire to see somebody else filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that we could all stand and begin to put names upon a whiteboard somewhere and say, these are those that I still want to see receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. I do believe that within all of us there is some type of passion. Amen. Some may be greater than others. Amen. But I believe that there is a passion to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. I may question some's desire to put forth an effort to see that. But I believe that we would all stand and say, yes, I want to see this church filled to capacity. I do not believe that there is a lack of burden amongst us. I do not believe that there is such a coldness about us that we would sit on our hands, amen, and not do anything, amen. And so with that said, there is some type of burden that is there, amen. But even the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the sluggard desires, but yet he has nothing. A burden is not going to fill this church up. A burden is not going to cause anybody to come through the doors. A burden is not going to put a soul in the altars. Amen. A burden is not going to gain us one more soul in this church. But somewhere or another, we have got to act upon the burden that God has put upon us. Somewhere or another, we've got to step out of our comfort zone and do something about the burden that God has placed upon our hearts. For some of us, it may be knocking a door. For others, it may be witnessing to somebody at Walmart or the restaurant. Amen. But for somebody else, it may be coming to the church house every day and praying. Amen, that souls would be loosed from the kingdom of hell. And others, it may be full passion. Amen, that you would do everything from knocking doors and passing out church cards to finding a place to pray. Amen, but a burden is not necessarily going to get the job done. Somebody has got to act upon the burden that God places upon us. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. And so I want to start, amen, this lesson off here tonight, amen, iterating unto you that I feel as if this is the divine will of God, feeling the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in prayer. I would have to say that God wants us to do something about what we have. I believe it is the will of God to fill people with the Holy Ghost. And with that said, I believe God is ready to set people free. I believe that God is ready, amen, to deliver people from every vice and addiction that this world has placed upon them. I believe that God is ready to dig them out of the pit, amen, that hell seems to have buried them in. I believe that God is ready to turn somebody's life around from a place that the devil has lied to them and said that there is nothing more left for them. I believe that there is a God in heaven that is looking down upon the city of Augusta and Andover and even El Dorado that is saying, I'm just looking now for a church. I'm looking now for somebody that'll stand up and be affected by this burden. I'm looking now for somebody, amen, who will do something about what they've heard, that'll do something about what they feel. I'm looking for somebody to get under a burden. I'm looking for somebody to be affected and to be changed by that burden. Hey, church, I'm here to tell you tonight it can happen to you if you'll open up your mind and your heart and say, God, put a burden upon me that'll drive the plate away. Put a burden upon me that'll cause me to get up early and pray. Put a burden upon me that won't let me go to sleep without praying. Put a burden upon me that's got to find somebody to talk to and to tell about Jesus. Amen. I believe that there is a God that is ready to do just that. And so with that said, let me just preach here for a little while that the Bible still says in the book of Romans chapter number 10, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except he be sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to open up your spirit while the preacher is preaching. Not just me, not just on Wednesday night, not just tonight, but every time a preacher gets in this pulpit, you need to say, God, increase my faith. God, I'm going to listen. I want this to be buried in my heart. I want to get a hold of what not just the preacher is saying. I want to get a hold of what you're saying, God. I want to know your mind. Reveal unto me the mind of the Spirit. Reveal unto me the heartbeat of the Spirit. That's what preaching is all about. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Preaching entices you to seek after God. It's not just for the sinner, but it's for the saint. It's to wake you up. It's to get you out of your comfort zone, because there's a job that is to be done. If all God needed was to fill you with the Holy Ghost, he would have done it and then taken you out somewhere. But yet there are people that still need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. 10,000 upon 10,000. That's right in our vicinity. That needs somebody to tell them about Jesus. Needs somebody to tell them that God loves them and that there is a better way for them. Chapter number 10 of Hebrews, he said, cast not away therefore thy confidence, which hath great recompense for reward. For you have need of patience, and that after that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that will come shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Amen. There's got to be something about it. That when you come to church and you don't see a guest, you still see empty pews, you still can believe. Amen. He said that the just shall live by faith. We also know that the just shall walk by faith. He said, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. God gets no glory when we pull back. God gets no glory when we don't have the faith.
I believe that there's too many churches out there today where God is not getting any glory from it. But I want to introduce you to a God that when a church begins to stand up and begins to respond to faith, there is something supernatural that begins to happen. Don't you ever forget that this is a spiritual thing that we are in. This is a spiritual battle that we are a part of. Amen. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You may not see how revival's going to come, but worship like it's already here. You may not see revival sitting on a pew with your physical eyes, but go ahead and look in the spirit and envision the church filled to capacity. Envision the altars filled with people hungry, seeking after God. That's what moves God. That's what gets God's attention. When a church stands up and operates on faith, it pleases our God. Oh, let's give Him glory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel faith here tonight. I feel reckless faith here tonight. I feel somebody getting a hold of what we're preaching tonight. I just want to reiterate, it's not me. It's not me. This is the mind of God. This is the will of God. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Your parents, your spouses, your children, your loved ones, your friends, your boss, this community, God wants all to come unto repentance. Let me just jump ahead of myself tonight and just feel after the Holy Ghost. It's not only that, but just as the king told Nehemiah, amen, tell me, what do you need? Nehemiah said, number one, I need your authority. Number two, you give me some letters to get past the borders. Number three, would you give me a letter to the keeper of the forest so that I can get some material that I need? And the king said, at your will, I grant everything that you need. Let me just tell you that everything that this church needs to have apostolic revival, God is willing to give us. All power is given unto Him, both in heaven and in earth. Everything that we need. If we had more people, we could be a bigger church. Amen. I'm telling you, God's got the power to open up the locks, to give us the entrance, the key to the city, that we can see many people filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe it. I know it. God can. With God, we can do all things. Oh, give God praise today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 And then there was this man by the name of Sanballat, whom the Bible said that when he heard that Nehemiah was coming to the city, that he got upset about it and that he began to complain about it. Don't expect the devil to throw a party because that the apostolics have moved in to have revival. The word Sanballat simply means hatred in secret. Feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hatred in secret. They're the same ones that'll pat you on the back and say, "Oh, brother, I love you. Sister, I love you. I believe in you. You've got what it takes." And they'll stab you in the back at the same time. That old devil, he's not your friend. I want you to mark them that cause division among you. Everybody that stands up in opposition against the house of God, they shall fall. God will have the last word in it all. Hallelujah. I believe the devil's right about nervous. I said, I believe he's nervous right now. Hey, man, he's wondering not just what the preacher's going to say. He's wondering how the church is going to respond. Because he knows that if the church responds like they need to respond, in 52 days, there can be a 50-foot high wall built 4 miles around. Amen. There is no limits when it comes to the power and the ability that God has. Say, Pastor, go ahead and prophesy and tell us, amen, what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is I got a mandate from the king to build a wall. Amen. I don't have time to debate the foxes. I don't have time to debate the devils. I don't have time to fight the devils. I might have a sword in one hand, but I got a trowel in another hand. I don't have time to be fighting all the time. I got a wall to build. Sometimes that's all the devil wants, is just a little attention. Because if he can garner the attention, you're not building a wall. Don't worry about the devil. Let the God of heaven take care of him. Just build the wall. That's what the king said. Build the wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just building a wall. Just building a wall. Just building a wall. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Nehemiah got on his horse in the nighttime and he rode out and he viewed all the wall and he viewed the 10 gates and how that they were burnt down. And the walls had been torn down. And he seen the stones. Amen. In Nehemiah 4, he talked about the stones that had rubbish upon them. And that's what Sanballat said. Are you going to build a wall with these stones? Amen. Nehemiah said, absolutely. The devil may have come in and he may have wrecked some things. He may have kicked some rocks into the wells. But it's time to pull the rocks out. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. For this is the stone that the builders have rejected, and it has yet become the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You say, Pastor, what does that have? That was Acts 4, 11 and 4 and 12. And so what we're first going to do is we're going to take Christ, the rock. Amen. That rock in the wilderness according to 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. And we're going to put it in the place that it needs to be put in. Amen. And we're going to build on that foundation. And that foundation is Christ. We're here to tell this world, amen, that Jesus can save you. We're here to tell this world that there is nothing that is impossible, that God cannot do. Amen. We are rooted and built and established in Him. Amen. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. But Peter took it a little step further in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter, amen, number 2 and verse number 5. And he said, ye also are lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, amen, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Woo! I believe that what Nehemiah saw, the Bible said, amen, that it was in such disarray that there was no place for his beast to rest. Amen, and that's the way the devil wants to look at it and say, you got such a mess. You got such a catastrophe. How are you going to do all of this? I'm going to tell you how we're going to do all of this. I've got the answer. One stone at a time. One stone at a time. I believe that when Nehemiah got to looking out over that field of a bunch of burnt over rocks, a bunch of burnt over stones, amen, that he saw lively stones, that he saw stones that would have a place in a wall, and he got off his horse. Some of us need to get off our high horse and get ready to get our hands dirty. Get your hands dirty in an altar. Get your hands dirty in a home Bible study. Get your hands dirty, amen, with some church cards, handing them out to somebody. Get your hands dirty with some problems of people that need God. He brushed the stones off and got it all brushed off. And then he picked it up and he set it in the wall. And somebody else picked up a stone and brushed it off and set it in a wall. Nehemiah didn't do it all by himself. Some 42 different groups of people joined into that. Amen. I believe we've got 42 people here at least. Amen. That are ready to roll up their sleeves and to get their hands dirty. Anybody ready to teach a Bible study? Anybody ready to knock on a door? Anybody ready to tell somebody about Jesus? Anybody ready to have revival? Anybody ready to pray with somebody at an altar? Anybody ready to pray until hell turns loose and heaven comes down? That wall wasn't built in a 15-minute prayer meeting. Amen. But it was day after day of praying. It was day after day of fasting. I know they were building a wall, but I'm talking spiritual. Amen for us. That when 15 minutes is said and done, I'm not going finding a place to sit down and saying, well, I've done my part. No, there's a wall to build. There's a wall to build. I've got the authority of the king. And I've got some letters. I've got some letters. I've got all the material that I need in order to build some walls and to establish some gates. There's a wall to build. There's a wall to build. Let's stand and love the Lord here tonight. Come on, church. God's watching how we respond. If he sees a church that's hungry, he'll send the hungry. If he sees a church, amen, that's desirous and more than desirous, amen, but doing what they need to do, he'll send people, amen, that we need to take care of. But he needs to make sure that there's not just a church that's wanting to sit back and just let it all happen. That wall's not gonna get built by osmosis. That wall's not gonna get built just because somebody can envision it being built. That wall's gonna get built because somebody put something into action. The burden. The burden. Do you have a burden? Do you have a burden? Do you have a burden? God, give me a burden. God, let me see lost souls like you see them. God, let me see them like you see them. Oh, God, put somebody in my path that I can witness to, Lord. And if I pick that rock up and it crumbles, God, let me use that crumbled piece of rock to fill some gaps. But, oh, God, I'm not going to hesitate or cry over something that didn't work. I'm going to apply myself again, God, and find another stone and dust off another stone. Come on, Nehemiah! You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. You're here to build a wall. You're here to build a wall. That wall will keep the devil out. That's why he doesn't want you building it. You don't have to fight the devil. You just build a wall. And the wall will keep the devil out. I got to build a wall. I've got the authority of the king. The king told me I could come. The king gave me the letters. I'm going to build this wall. I'm going to build this wall. Count the cost, Nehemiah. Are you going to lose your place in the kingdom? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. What matters is that the wall is built. God, affect me with the burden of a wall. Let it affect me and let me put it into action. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let God deal with you right now. Come on, God has ministered to you tonight. There is a seed of faith that has been watered tonight. Something has happened in your heart tonight. Amen. You got a hold of something. Something has awakened within your spirit tonight. Amen. Act upon it. Don't let it go dormant. Don't let it go dormant. Amen. Purpose with inside of yourself. This was good tonight, but Sunday morning we're going to come and do it all over again. I may have put in 20 stones today, but tomorrow I got to start all over and do it again. I got to do it again and again and again. There's a wall to build. There's a wall to build. There's people that want to be a part of this wall. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, there's backsliders. There's backsliders out there that need a little help. They need dusted off. They need cleaned up. They need put back in the wall. Come on, there's people that's got some horrific life stories. They've been burnt by the world. They've been torn down by the devil. They've been destroyed. Amen, but they can be cleaned up and they can fit perfectly into God's wall, into the plan of God. A building fitly framed. Amen, they belong in this church. They belong in this wall. That's exactly where they need to go. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I feel the unction of the Spirit. I feel the presence and the Spirit of God reaching for backsliders. I believe that the Spirit of God is going into the highways, into the byways, into the bedrooms at night. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I believe that God's calling backsliders. I believe that God is moving upon backsliders. I don't believe that's the only ones. But I believe we're going to see a revival of backsliders. Amen. I believe God's going to open up the door and bring them in. They're hurt. They're burned over. They're messed up. They're tore down. You going to use that in your wall? Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to dust it off. I'm going to prepare it. I'm going to put it in the wall. You cannot help what happened yesterday. Nehemiah, you cannot help what happened 140 years ago. But you can work upon today. And you can work for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Come on, there's lost loved ones. There's lost loved ones that God's ready to reach. God's ready to talk to. Come on, there are people that are a testimony away from coming to church. There are people that are one invite away from coming to church. There's people ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're ready for a life change. They need a Nehemiah. They need the kingsman to come. Oh, yes, the king gave Nehemiah authority. He gave him letters. Amen. And he also provided the help. He provided men to go with Nehemiah. They just need somebody to believe in them. They need somebody to believe in them. They need somebody to have hope. They don't have hope. They need somebody to have faith in them. They need somebody to pick them up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God's given us everything that we need. Don't let it sit there and rust. Don't let it sit there and rust. God's given us the grace that we need. God's given us everything that we need. It's time to use it. It's time to use it. In Jesus' name.